2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, and it was, we've missed 11 weeks of Wednesday night services, so would somebody like to just go review the first 10 chapters? You weren't paying attention back then? So, yeah, so Second Corinthians, really, the first seven chapters is Paul really starting off. You know, he had a change in plans because the false teachers at Corinth were maligning Paul, trying to discredit him, make people hate him or think he was not a true apostle because he can't keep his word about when he's going to go. All these things they were trying to do to discredit him, to lift themselves up, to spread a false gospel, a false Jesus to the people. And so Paul explains his plans to change, you know, how his plans changed, his philosophy of ministry, and his exhortation, you know, and he exhorted the Corinthians, don't let this happen. My yes is yes, but I couldn't make it. And then he, in chapter 8 and 9, he switches to, hey, I'm going to be coming. I really am going to be coming. And the Macedonians, the people in Philippi in that area, they gave me money to take to the poor Christians in Jerusalem to help them financially. And why don't you join? When I come, why don't you join in helping out with that financial donation to the people that are starving in Jerusalem? And then he switches again in chapter 10 to credentials. You know, here is my credentials for being an apostle. And chapter 11, we're going to complete chapter 10, which we did 11 weeks ago. And then we're going to get into chapter 11, where he defends his apostleship. And so, chapter 10, verse 14, for we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. And he's saying, we are the ones that gave birth to you. When we come in and say we have an authority from God, we're not overextending to say that. You didn't know anything about Jesus when we came, and now you're saved. So please don't listen to them say I'm a bad guy when I am the one that brought you the gospel. And the things I'm about to say, I'm not overextending. I'm not making this up. I have the credentials of being sent by God to you. We came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, because there were no other men's labors that had preceded him getting there, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishments. You know, we want to be able to know that you're behind what we're teaching you, because then we can go other places and say, go talk to the Corinthians. We shared the gospel with them and they came to saving faith. But whereas if they say, well, you know, we're not really sure about Paul. He said he was going to come and he didn't come in the exact time that he wanted to. And these other apostles that have come into town, they have a little different spin than Paul. Paul is saying, we need to be able to have you on the same page with us so that when we go, they can come back and hear the same thing from you, that no, Paul is the apostle that taught us about Jesus. And, but, verse 17, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And we concluded 11 weeks ago, 12 weeks ago, that's a quote from Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me. You know, so many people today, even today, false prophets, they glory in all kinds of things. And building on other people's work, taking Christians that have been birthed and by people that truly shared the gospel with them, bringing them into their, you know, stadiums and whatever, giving them a different Jesus, and then glorying about the success of the ministry by human American success standards. How many people are there? How much money comes in? How many radio stations they're on or TV stations they're on? How many countries they're in? Which is all wonderful if somebody's preaching the true gospel, right? I mean, we would love for a true gospel preacher to be seen and heard everywhere. But that's not necessarily the case. And And so he's saying, these guys are coming in, they're glorying in themselves, and we're going to see some other information about that in chapter 11. We're just glorying in the fact that we know Jesus, we know the gospel, we've given it to you, and you got saved. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. And the Lord does commend. How many of you would love to have the Lord tell you, good and faithful servant, the day you get raptured to be in his presence? And, might not have been Mr. Popular or Mrs. Popular, but you preached the unadulterated true gospel of Jesus Christ to people. You will hear, good and faithful servant, come into the kingdom and receive rewards for having done so. Chapter 11, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So he's going to get into folly here in this chapter and the next chapter by just trying to get their minds off of trusting in these guys that have their degrees and their oratory skills that exceed. Paul can't talk like I talk. And, there's some people that have a gift of oratory, aren't there? You can hear them. And they have great oratory. They mesmerize the people. But if they have a different message, a different Jesus, then that's a curse. It's a curse to bring those people, listen to that. That must be from God. And so these orators had come. Satan had sent them in as people, false prophets. And Paul is saying, I just want you to stick with the real Jesus. I don't want you to go off and have an affair with a fake Jesus. I don't want you to have an affair with a fake God. I want you to be betrothed to one husband, to be chaste virgin. How much do we want to really stick to the real biblical Jesus? It should be like more important than anything else. We want no other Jesus. But I fear, verse 3, I fear lest somehow, because he's concerned about whether they're truly saved. I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So these men were masquerading as Christians to destroy the church. Now, I was doing a YouTube thing and, Ravi Zacharias answering the question. Ravi Zacharias is with Jesus, by the way. Everybody knows that. And, he's been a great apologist for the truth. And there was one that had, him answering the question, what about people that are living alternate lifestyles? Gay marriages and stuff like that. A very, very good answer, which, by the way, Jeremy, maybe we want to send that out to everybody, that link. It is really, really good. Well, I watched that one, and then right after that, there was, how on the side there's another one. So the other one was, is Catholicism a cult? It was, is Roman Catholicism a cult? And this was by Ravi Zacharias at Texas A&M Veritas Forum, and you can get it on YouTube. You can just, is Roman Catholicism a cult by Ravi Zacharias? It was really bummer because he did such a good job on the one. And on the other one, he wouldn't call it a cult. And see, Paul would have said, what's wrong with you? Of course it's a cult. It's a different Jesus. Is the Catholic Jesus a different Jesus? Yeah. And I'm going to say, he gives a definition of a cult. This is what he says a cult is. And I wrote it down verbatim. Anything that deviates from the historic person and work of Jesus Christ or adds to his teachings and is generally at the instruction of one individual who dictates that belief. Is that a cult? See, the thing is, can you be a cult and not be defined as a cult by that definition? Now think about this carefully. Anything that deviates from the historic person and work of Jesus Christ. Do Catholics believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Yes. Do they believe that he lived a sinless life? Yes. Do they believe that he died? Yes. Do they believe he resurrected? Yes. Do they believe he ascended into heaven? Do they believe he walked on water and he did miracles? Yes, 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 yes. So have they deviated from the historic person and work of Jesus Christ? No. Have they added to his teachings? They have added over the years. They've added to his teachings. But they're not adding to his teachings in the sense Jesus taught this. What do they say? They say that the progression of the popes through the years, which are descended from Peter, who was the one that was supposed to have the church built upon him, and then every single pope since then can speak ex cathedra as the vicar of Christ, as representing Christ on earth, and can change certain things. So it's not like adding to his teachings, because the teachings are coming through the vicar of Christ to the church today. Now, who else does that? Every cult. The cult, it's like Moroni. The angel Moroni gave Joseph Smith a better understanding of Christianity. Everybody else, all the cults have the same thing. But see, so they don't think that that's it. So he says it's possible for someone to be a good Christian and a bad Roman Catholic. The answer, really, to what a cult is, according to Paul, is anybody who teaches a different gospel is a cult. Now, what is the gospel? The good news. See, our good news is if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that He alone, by faith in Him alone, you can be absolved of your sins. You can have your sins washed away. And you can then, when you die, go straight to heaven to be with God. That is the gospel that Paul preached. And that is not what the Catholics teach. Galatians, Paul says, let him be accursed. But, you know, so it should be so simple to just sit there. Of course it's a cult. And the guy that asked him, hey, we're out on the streets and we're talking to people. We're witnessing. We're street witnessers and we're witnessing to people. We run into people and we think there's a problem here. What do you think? Don't you think it's a cult? No. I mean, he wouldn't say, yes, it's a cult. But it is a cult. Verse 4. And then this chapter deals with this. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Because who is the Catholic Jesus? A really nice guy who did all those things and then turned over the graces that he purchased at the cross to his mom to disperse through the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church to those people who are good Catholics. That's who Jesus is to the Catholics. That's a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. And just as a proof positive, we had somebody that was visiting us, and they haven't been to church for 40 years, and I heard that they had been in a Catholic church before that. And he said, "Sir, where's the cross?" And I think what he meant was, "Where's the crucifix?" So where is our Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father? Where's the biblical Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father? Where is the Catholic Jesus? He's on the cross. He's in the crucifix. You know, even though they believe that he's ascended into heaven, They stop there because that's where Satan wants to say, defeated on the cross. You know, didn't see the victory is the empty tomb and ascending into heaven and sitting at the right hand, waiting to come down to get his church. Satan wants to destroy that Jesus. He wants to destroy it by, even in slight little ways, deviate from it, give it a different Jesus. These apostles that were coming into Corinth were doing the exact same thing. Not like Catholicism, but just deviating from the biblical Jesus. If someone comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received from them preaching to him, or a different gospel, a different good news, which, I mean, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, everything else is all of it. Catholicism, it's all a different good news. And it's no good news at all if it's a different good news. It's a bad news. Because it's a good news. It's like getting told by a doctor, here, take this drug and you're going to be better. And it makes you worse or kills you. A different gospel which you have not accepted. You may well put up with it. He goes, you guys let people come in here and give you any other Jesus. They can come in here and mess with the Jesus we preached and you just love it and you just bring it in. For I consider that I'm not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am untrained in speech. You know, you guys, you know, have been told I'm not a great orator. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. He's just saying, but I do know something, and it doesn't take much to know it, does it? The simplicity of the gospel is not hard. One thing I know, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I know that by trusting and believing in him and only in him, and not in a pope, not in any other organization, not because I did anything, did a bunch of good works, but simply because he was willing to give me his grace and mercy, I know I'm going to heaven. And you can spend the rest of your life knowing that in such a deep way, it makes everything else meaningless. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? These guys come in and charge. You know, I'm an orator. You need to come and pay me. And I'm going to tell you great things about God. Again, I mentioned it in one of our Sunday virtual studies that my brother had to pay big dollars for the Power for Abundant Living classes from Victor Paul Werwell, the head of the Way. Thank you. The Way International. The Way International cult group. You know, Kevin, you've got to listen to these. You know, pay the hundreds of dollars to get these videos to go listen to them, you know, because he's got the Aramaic text and knows that Jesus is not God. No, I don't want your Jesus. I already got the real one. And Craig, you need to get the real one too. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you, because the Philippians would say, hey, Paul, you're heading south to Corinth. You know, crazy Corinth church. Here's some money. We know they're going to stiff you when you get down there. They're not going to help you out. So here's some money to get you taken care of. And when I was present with you, and in need, I was a burden to no one, for what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows, I do love you, that he's willing to fight, to get them to snap out of their stupor. And to stop believing in these false prophets. He's fighting for them. And this is interesting in light of the fact, you know, dating this study, in light of the fact that Seattle got taken over by Antifa today. And you sit there and you go, Paul could have just said, okay, forget it. You know, I just forget it. Let it go to pot. Let the Corinthian church get deceived by these people. He fights for them. And you wish, you know, the governor gets asked today, what do you think about the fact that 9 city blocks of Seattle just got taken over by a bunch of anarchists and they kicked out the police and they wouldn't let them go get their stuff out of the police station and all those firearms that were in the police station they have access to, and maybe tonight they're going to burn it down. What do you think about that, governor? Oh, I wasn't really paying attention today. I haven't heard about this. You know, our politicians, the people in power, should be fighting for the sanity of Seattle. One of the people that works over there called me today, Dustin. He called me today. He goes, Kevin, these houses in this area that were worth $1 million last week are probably couldn't sell them for $50,000. Because there will be, how would you even sell a house in a place where anarchy and lawlessness reigns? And where at any moment these guys could say, hey, you're not paying the protection money. No, I'm a free American citizen. I have the right to drive on this road out of this lockdown camp that you've created and go to my job. And I'm not going to pay you $500. Okay, they burn your house and they burn your car. And they could do that. And who's going to stop them? The police? You dial 911, go get the police. Oh, these people have told the government that one of the city council communists let them into the city hall and got to read their petition where they said every single cop has to be completely disarmed of all their firearms, everything else, and we're going to start having this new patrol thing of us being in charge. So, you're going to go call Antifa to go get taken care of when somebody's being raped or pillaged or robbed? And they let it happen. See, the thing is, praise God, Paul didn't let it happen. Praise God, Paul fought. He fought for his whole life against all the lies that were coming from everybody to try and destroy the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's okay for us to fight for people. You know, your family, don't give up on your family that says, forget you. You know, maybe they're going to be open. now with this stuff going on. See, this stuff is even making, somebody told me, their most liberal coworker is just like, what is going on? And she called her dad, what is going on? Her dad goes, are you a Trump lover now? Oh, no, I can't go that far. just realizing this place is, see, when people see their foundation is on sand and the sand is just being washed away with the evil and the wickedness that's sweeping our nation, they might be looking for something solid. And so don't give up. Fight. Fight for the souls, as Paul did. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do love you, and we fight for the truth. We fight at every moment. You have Christian friends. Why are you so into this Jesus, this narrow-minded Jesus? Why can't you just be more ecumenical and just be more affirming of other people that have different beliefs? Because there are beliefs that lead people to hell in some cases. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. They are not of us. I'm going to continue to point out to you, they're not us. They're not Christians. They're not believing in the biblical Jesus. They are not with us. We're going to point it out, going to continue to point it out. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, claiming to be apostles. One of the biggest cult groups today is the New Apostolic Reformation. What do they call themselves? New Apostolic. We're the new apostles. These guys were coming into Corinth. We're the new apostles. Paul's the old apostle. We're the new apostle. We have some extra special knowledge for you. We have some things to tell you about Jesus that Paul didn't tell you. 2,000 years ago, and here it is sweeping our culture today. And hundreds of thousands of people are being swept up by the false teachings of the New Apostolic Reformation. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Consider Joseph Smith running into an angel like Moroni. Edgar Cayce, the guy that deceived me when I was in high school, he was called the sleeping prophet. He saw an angel in the woods when he was, and the angel says, hey, God, God's pretty impressed with you. What do you want? I want to help people. And so he was able to give psychic powers, and people were in taught reincarnation, went into a self-hypnotic trance and spouted off reincarnation stuff. And I believe that was the truth. An angel of light deceived a man who deceived hundreds of thousands of people. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. What is the end? Hell. Because of their works, they rejected the biblical Jesus. These people that say they're Christians, they say they have this new light, they have a different Jesus, but they're Christians. They have a power from God. The new apostolic stuff is all about power. You got to come here and learn how to, come to our power class and we'll teach you how to pray for people and they'll get healed. And even if they do get healed, so people might get healed. Can Satan heal people? Yeah. Say the powers of Satan to deceive people can get people healed. And so are we impressed by power itself? No. Why? Because even what does the Antichrist come with? Great signs and wonders to be able to deceive the whole world. And so Paul was acknowledging these people, they look good. They look bright and shiny. They do deeds of righteousness. But who cares? Satan can appear as an angel of light. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord. Jesus wouldn't want me to do this. But as it were, foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, see that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. Boasting people are from the pits of hell. But see, you guys are enamored by people that boast. These people come in with their pedigree again. I graduated from this seminary. I did this. And so, back in Paul's day, no, we have these. We're oratories and stuff, as I've said. And, they want to boast. Boasting isn't from God. But if you want to boaster, okay, I'll boast. And then he goes on to bring the thing. In fact, last night, Wayne and I watched By the way, we've ordered a series of the Thief in the Night series. How many of you remember that? 1973 series, Thief in the Night. I ordered the four DVD. If you can suffer the bad acting and stuff that existed back then. But it's got a strong gospel message. And one of the things that's featured in there is the pastor who was just oratoring to his congregation. Oh, you can't really believe in the Bible and you don't have to believe in the virgin birth and blah, 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 blah. And he's left behind. And he's weeping over the people that he deceived. And so we'll have those available when we get them here to the church. And, you know, before I get into the list of the things that he's going to boast about, I think we'll save that for next week. We're still here. But it's not like Jesus didn't want him to, but he did it anyway. Because Jesus inspired him to do this. Jesus inspired him to say, you know, you've got to shock these people because they just don't understand. They're walking in the flesh. They think the pride of life. Paul should be somebody. If he's really belonging to God and he's really an apostle of God, he should be somebody in this life. And Paul is going to say, here's the sign of somebody that really loves Jesus: oppressed, hated, maligned, and not the life of the party. And you're going to have things that happen to you that are from Satan. You know, it's not like people said, oh, here, Paul's on this ship, let's sink it. It was because Satan wanted to sink it, sending storms, sending other things, all the shipwrecking, all the being beaten and everything else. So here's a sign of a true believer: suffering in this world. It's not that you get the three-piece suit and a nice car and everything else and everybody loves you. It is suffering that shows the true, hardcore, fighting for Jesus person. And why? Because Satan is going to hate you. He's going to throw everything he can at you. That's what he did with Job. Satan hated Job. And God removed his restraint. And Satan took him right down to the point of killing him. Almost killing him. But horrible, horrible suffering, but he just stuck with Jesus. So we can experience hardships, rejection, people hating us, thinking we're lame-o because we believe in Jesus. It's okay, because in the end, we're there with Jesus in heaven, and they are regretting for their eternal life they thought you were a loser, and that they didn't join you in what you believed. And so, amen? Is it okay if we just stick with this Jesus? It ends well. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Paul fighting, Lord, for those souls that he loved and that were being swept away, attempted to be swept away by false teachers and false apostles and deceitful evil workers. Lord, we see the same thing in our culture today. And we pray that you would just help us to fight, Lord, for our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, to try and reason with them and point out to them the horrible tragedies of rejecting the biblical Jesus. Lord, and that you would help us to do so, even as we see the day approaching of your coming, that we wouldn't lose heart and wouldn't lose stamina, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God.
Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King, always only for my King. take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne.
And really, that's what God is asking for. Our heart. Just give it to me. Just let your heart go to Jesus. That's what our message is to the lost. Why not just give your heart to Jesus? Give that inner who you are. Just, God, it's my life's in your hands. When we do that, we're home forever and changed forever. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we fellowship again. Yeah, Juanita.